Welcome to Local Talk Tuesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, events, and places in central Iowa. Thank you for listening. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your host for the hour. Mike Metz is away today. Yet engineer Mike Murphy is here, our steady hand at the controls. Mike, you came to Iowa March 15th, 2020. So you've been here for a fourth of KHOI's existence.
That's right. Isn't that amazing?
We just celebrated our 10th anniversary, had a street closing birthday bash, and you got an image of a rainbow emanating from the guitar on top of this building.
Yeah. That was a beautiful thing. Our wonderful celebration was briefly interrupted with some rain, but of course with that came the rainbow.
And we noticed that, be it under the sycamore tree across the street, there was no rain hitting us under the tree. You could see it in the street.
Yes.
The sycamore was keeping us dry. But it is currently, it's in the lower 60s. There's a high forecast today of 92 for one of our last days of summer. A cold front will check temperatures down to 69 Wednesday with a possible shower and 64 on Thursday, the first day of autumn. And then back into the mid-70s by this weekend, and it's just a sliver of the moon as it's waning away, but as another season is quickly upon us. Let's welcome ISU veterinarian student Jamila Kelly. And she is here representing the College of Veterinary Medicine this morning. Welcome, Ms. Kelly.
Hi, thank you guys for having me so much. I'm glad to be here this morning.
And your first name is pronounced Jamila?
Yeah, Jamila, kind of like Camilla, but with a J in front of it instead.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, well, thank you for that. So Dr. Jamie Copper is here also, the equine internal medicine and emergency on staff.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, and you invited Jamila to be on. What is about her qualities that you thought would be a good match for community radio?
Jamila is just a standout student, I think that, and standout future veterinarian. So she's almost to the finish line. And so we're just so pleased to have her here at Iowa State and pleased that she was willing to join us here today.
Oh, this is great. Oh, well, Jamila, are you from Iowa?
I am actually not from Iowa originally. I'm originally from Savannah, Georgia, and I'm actually coming to you from there right now. I'm on a 2-week break, so I'm back home visiting my family. So East Coast time right now.
Oh, well, super. Thanks for having some time to be on community radio. What's your impression of Ames?
So I moved to Ames back in August of 2019. I moved pretty last minute. I got pulled off the wait list, I think maybe 2 weeks before classes start. So it was a pretty move. But I've loved my times in Ames. I was a little nervous, you know, coming to the Midwest from, you know, the Southeast. Sure. But I've fallen in love with the Iowa State community, and the Ames community is really nice. I've really feel like I fit in well here. So I've been really enjoying my time in Ames for the last couple years that I've been here.
Were you able to visit the veterinary college before you got all the way up here?
I did not. I came in blind. I had researched the school. I felt interested enough to apply. A friend of mine's sister went to vet school here and did all 4 years here, really enjoyed it. So I kind of had a background in school, but as far as seeing the vet school in person or even coming to the state of Iowa or the Midwest in general, I had never done. So it was a pretty big jump for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, welcome to Ames, as they say. And of course, you're deep in the throes of cyclone territory now.
Yes.
Is there anything that you did not anticipate, or is there anything that's been a real pleasant surprise for you at the vet school?
I've really enjoyed just the welcoming community at Iowa State. I was concerned, you know, with vet school, it's very hard, very rigorous, but all the professors and students have professors, like staff, have been so welcoming. They really, really want you to succeed and do well, and they're always here to support you. And then getting to know my fellow classmates, we all kind of have this great camaraderie of like getting through this together. So I've really liked that. And then just like the close-knitness of Ames. It's not a huge city. You know, I feel like I can focus, get what I need done, but also have things to explore and check out. So I've enjoyed my time in the Midwest, I think.
We think of Ames as a big Iowa farm town. It's just kind of a big town, but it still has a lot of the capacity to be close-knit. And it's surprising how people are really linked to the Ames community. And now, how many classmates do you have in your current class in the veterinary college?
Originally, so with Iowa State's program, they have a joint program with Nebraska. So it's like a 50-50 program where Nebraska students do 2 years at Nebraska, then their final 2 years with us here in Ames. So originally, I think we started out with 130-ish. That sounds about right for our first 2 years. And then we got an extra like 20 plus students in our third year. So I think we're sitting right around like 152 or something like that. Uh-huh. So a nice big group. That's all pretty close, surprisingly, for how many of us there are.
So you're meeting new people each year, though, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah. We get transfers pretty often from other vet schools. So usually there's always a new face that shows up, but we just, you know, let them join the fold and they all tend to fit in. So,
is it possible to kind of make a broad statement, or would all 50 states be represented, or any idea on your classmates' origin?
We do have, I'm not sure if all 50 states are represented, but we do have a good number of out-of-state students. A lot of students from California, other various like East Coast states, other Midwestern states like Minnesota, Kansas. Mm-hmm. I feel like we hit a lot of the big ones, but I can't say all 50. We have a lot of honestly, a surprising handful of students from Hawaii, which I think is really cool. But I don't think we've hit all 50.
Uh-huh. Sure. Sure. Well, yeah, I guess when we think of Hawaii, we don't necessarily think of a lot of livestock, but probably a lot of pets. Yeah. And, and avian ecologists, quite likely, people that are studying birds, a lot of birds in Hawaii. So as your career is evolving, have you kind of focused on things that mean a lot to Jamila?
Could you repeat that last question? I didn't quite hear you.
I'm just curious if there's key situations or key veterinary applications that you can focus on certain large animals, small animal, or even wildlife causes. Are you fostering any specialties at this point?
Oh, kind of what my interests are.
Yeah.
I currently am tracking small animal. It tends to be my focus right now. I kind of have a love for a lot of things. Like Dr. Copper knows, I am hopefully a budding equine internalist if she could make me one. So I truly enjoy like all aspects of veterinary medicine. I like that you can have your hands in whatever you're interested in. But specialty medicine is something I'm really interested in. I really enjoy neurology and oncology. I also enjoy like exotic pet medicine.
What is it about exotic pets that piques your interest?
I did that. I had a not really super non-traditional path to veterinary medicine, but I took some time off between undergrad and vet school and worked with an exotic specialist. And I love just the variety of patients I got to see, some really cool cases. Mm-hmm. You know, not every day you get to say you've worked with anacondas and cool stuff like that before. So, So it was just, I thought it was just really cool. But right now, my focus is predominantly small animal, but I'd love to do some equine work. So you'll see.
I wish your listeners could see Dr. Copper is just beaming and, as you go through what touches you. And that's pretty special to be able to witness that. I think you're very highly regarded. So is there anything else that you'd like to make sure we touched upon this morning?
I guess just that any future budding veterinarians or students that are interested in veterinary school, like, definitely give it a try, especially if they think, oh, it's too hard, or it's, they don't think it's something they'll be suited for, you know, definitely just give it a go. I mean, I was always someone who thought, you know, I wouldn't make it, or I was, didn't think I was, you know, up to par. And here I am, like, 4 years later, and I'm so close to the finish line. So just that, yeah. You know, if it's something that you truly believe in and it's something that you really want to do, you can make it happen. It's definitely not a cakewalk. It wasn't easy. Had some long nights of studying, you know, some setbacks. It wasn't all rainbows. I didn't get straight A's every day. You know, there were a lot of struggles and being away from home. But if it's something you're truly passionate about and it's something you want to do, I think it's totally worth going for and uprooting your life and moving to the Midwest if you have to. It's no problem. So,
well, I think it's those struggles in life that probably provide us the best learning opportunities, and it's all good in that regard. But I can only imagine you've been immersed in a very powerful amount of learning in a short amount of time.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess to state the obvious. Well, Dr. Copper, is there anything you'd like to have closing remarks with?
Nothing. I think that Jamila's covered it all, really.
But, isn't that super? Yeah.
We're super lucky to have students like her here, and we're super excited to see her go out into the world and do all the great things that she's off to do.
Well, we really love this segment once a month with the Veterinary College, and it really brings a lot of good insights into a pretty special class of students and a very special group that come to Ames and hopefully have meaningful experiences. And it's just great to have you on Local Talk.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed my time. It's been fun to talk to you.
Well, and maybe there'll be more. If you ever have a storyline, we're here to enjoy all that you contribute to the Ames community. Jamila Kelly and Dr. Jamie Copper, thank you.
Thank you.
That was a little Gloria Estefan. Here we are honoring Hispanic Heritage Month, and we're going to be featuring Hispanic Heritage Month on Eric Blocker's show this afternoon at 2. And the KHOI Jukebox is going to be enlivening us with Hispanic music this afternoon. But before that, let's welcome Mike Metz is away today, but yet he left us a travel guide, if you will, about our beloved Ada Hayden Park.
This is Mike Metz with KHOI, and today we're out at Ada Hayden Heritage Park. This is that time of year when we get to drive some folks out around the park in golf carts to show them some of the places they normally can't get to. This morning, I have the Friendship Arc. Tell me who you are and what your role is.
My name is Ann York, and I am the Community Inclusion Coordinator, which is a new position in the company.
Okay.
That we create activities out in the community and find them to have our core members help work out in the community. Yesterday, we came out here and painted rocks and found out that we were getting to learn about Ada Hayden.
Yeah.
So the group decided they wanted to come out this morning.
All right. And I know they were really interested in some of the monarch butterflies. We stopped and learned about some of the grasses and other plants. How do you think the folks took to that? It seemed like they had a really good time.
They were very engaged in learning about all the different plants that were out here and learning about the leaves and loving the tickle grass.
Yeah, which is switchgrass, but everybody was laughing on that one.
And then we saw deer and a baby deer, mm-hmm. and everybody got excited.
Now, you said that you were out here painting some rocks. I also understand you do things like go around and pick up litter and a lot of different projects.
We have so much that goes on at Friendship Art. One group wants to go pick up garbage, so we figure out a way for them to be able to do that. Others, we go to the zoo. We let core members choose mm-hmm. what they would like to do, and we try to make it happen for them.
Excellent. So, yeah, it's a great thing that you guys do, and I'm glad that the friends of Ada Hayden were able to help out today.
We appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, have a great day, and I know these folks, you can see them smiling and getting into it.
Yes. So,
all right. Thanks.
This will be a day they remember.
Yeah, very good.
I served as a driver with the Friends group. We had an opportunity to listen to some interpretive work, environmental education, provided for the group by Dr. Jim Pease. Let's have a listen.
30 million acres, so about 80% of the state was covered in tall grass fern. Now it's 0.1%. Instead of 80%, 0.1%. It had all been converted. So what we have here is what we call reconstructed prairie. So you can never recreate the total native community that was there. There would be over 225 or so different species of plants on a native parcel, whereas on a reconstructed parcel, Mike, how many do you have on yours?
I've got 100 native, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
And another another 40.
Yeah, non-native.
What we call weeds.
Right. Yeah. This particular, as I said, we have 10 faces in the stone all around the park, and Ada Hayden was one. And this is a person that is really influential that many people may not even realize he was an Iowan or how important he was. John Lacey was a lawyer down in Oskaloosa. He got elected to Congress from Iowa in the late 1800s. He passed two laws that are arguably some of the most important conservation laws. And one was called the Lacey Act, named after him. Mm-hmm. And that actually stopped all of the commercial exploitation of wildlife that was happening in the 1800s. By the time, because there were either no laws, or even if there were laws, they weren't enforced, people with wildlife, they took what they wanted, whenever they wanted, as many as they wanted. And so our bison population went from 60 million bison down to almost not worth. Down to allowed Teddy Roosevelt to set aside national monuments, many of which later became national parks. Teddy Roosevelt set aside the Grand Canyon National Monument. Now, of course, one of our premier national parks. And every president since has used that act to set aside certain lands. Everyone except Trump, he did not do that. But everybody else set aside pieces of land for national recognition as historic sites or unusual natural systems that need to be saved
Effigy mounds would be a national monument, for example.
Iowa. So yeah, exactly. This is that third big grass this is called switchgrass, also called tickle grass. But switchgrass, and it's a tall one. So those three species are the three dominant species of the three dominant grass species. Tall grass prairie. John Lacey, he also helped write. So he's one of those Iowans we're really proud of, and they've got 10 stones out there. Paul had been watching. He said the migration peaked last year
and he counted over 214 on one tree. So that was pretty nice. So yeah, so but they've been slacking off, and this morning we just saw about a dozen, not many more. So you have to imagine what they were quarrying out of here were all rocks, ranging from pebble-sized rocks up to rocks as big as this vehicle. And they were all kind of rounded on the edges. They were made out of granite and basalt and gneiss, stuff that's not native to Iowa. Where did all that rock come from? Well, it came south with the glaciers.
Oh.
And what we are on, this was a big meander of the Skunk River.
Oh.
As that glacier melted, it carried all that rock with it and everything. As it came around the bend, you can see on this hill that we're on top of now, and it goes all the way around. This was a big meander of the Skunk River. And it deposited all that gravel then in this area. And so about 1930, fast forward 2,000 years, this was all a soybean field. This was farmland. And then the Hallett's Company came in and started mining that gravel. They understood that, okay, we can use that as a resource. So they mined that gravel. So this is really an industrial site. And once they took that gravel out, the groundwater seeped in. So this is a groundwater-fed lake wouldn't be here if it wasn't for removal of that gravel. And what you're seeing then, as we sit on the edge, you can kind of imagine this being the river going around this big, and that glacier was melting. It was a lot of water, so it was carrying all these boulders and everything. But as the glacier melt water slowed down, it couldn't carry that, and that stuff all dropped out. And this was a big meander. Hallett's is now doing the same thing to the south of Ames, right where Interstate 35 and 30 cross. There are new lakes down there. They're doing the same thing where they're mining out the gravel there. We hope that'll be our next park. But that's a few years down the road yet. So I think they'll probably mine that for another 15 or 20 years at least. So this is a very interesting area when you think about the history and how we could have been looking at all houses rather than a nice park.
You're doing enough of that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I guess, pre-COVID anyway, we killed off the grass and planted prairie. And you can see the prairie's coming on pretty well. In fact, there is some purple down there. There's some
New England aster.
Aster, huh? So, it's but it's a yellow time of year, that's for sure, with occasional bits of purple. Lots of gold.
But all these trees, do they turn? Is it pretty in the fall when you look across?
Yeah, although these are cottonwoods. Oh, mostly what you're seeing are cottonwoods.
A few willows.
Yeah, so they turn yellow. So they won't turn red like maples do in that. So there are a few maples in the park, but mainly silver maple. So in the bottomlands, you've got trees that can stand having their feet in the water, their roots in the water, and that's cottonwoods, willow.
I'm Mike Metz out at Ada Hayden Heritage Park, and this morning I'm visiting with Jim Patton. Jim, what are we doing out here today at Ada Hayden?
Well, we're actually doing an annual event, and we give tours on golf carts for people from the community who have mobility issues.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday we started with three different sessions, and we had about 30, 35 people. Today we have three more sessions, and I think we're going to be closer to 50. So we're real pleased to have the ability to offer this, and we only can do it because we have membership.
Mm-hmm.
And when we accumulate a few dollars, we're able to rent these golf carts and provide these tours. And even people who are not on the tour that I have visited with have just talked about, that's just amazing because it's such a beautiful park.
And this is something that you work together with the Ames City Parks and Rec so that we have that ability to be able to use a vehicle that normally these trails, they're not permitted on.
Absolutely, yes. You know, one of the neat things, I just moved to Ames about 9 years ago, and one of the neat things that Ames has going for it is the partnerships, in this case, between the Friends of Ada Hayden Lake and the city. Other times it's between the city and the university or some other partnership. And I just think that makes the community so much richer in what they can offer and reach broader audiences, too. Mm-hmm. This morning, we were able to entertain some clients from Friendship Arc, and mm-hmm. that was helpful. And as I've positioned myself here to kind of coordinate the golf carts, a lot of people have gone by and just didn't realize this was even happening, and they just were so grateful that we were doing it.
And that's a great way to get the word out in the community. You know, you talked about the Friendship Arc folks. Ames has, I think we're so blessed to be living in this area because there's a lot of diversity here. Not only different cultures and that kind of thing, but different needs, like you say. Looked to me like they had a really great time.
Oh, I think they did too. Yeah, we were talking to them here a few minutes ago about they saw a deer and they had a chance to go over the bridge a couple times. Yeah, they had a ball.
And they
Mike,
even
you were the best one for the tour too, because you could you know, they were all four of the clients and the volunteers were all on the same cart, so they could appreciate that together, and I think that was a real plus.
Yeah, and they even got to see some releases of some monarch butterflies that had just recently hatched. In fact, there's one sitting on the golf cart wings aren't quite pumped up yet,
yep.
So
yep.
Maybe when the other tour gets here, they'll get to see it take off. But how long has the Friends of Ada Hayden been doing this, Jim? Do you know?
Well, this has gone on for a number of years. I think somebody said maybe close to 10.
Okay.
And they didn't do it 2 years ago because mm-hmm. of COVID. Mm-hmm. So we started it again last year. We just had the one day, and we had over 70 people. So we were overwhelmed and decided this day, let's schedule 2 days, and we can hopefully not have to leave anybody out.
Yeah.
And, of course, the challenge is doing a schedule that meets everybody's personal schedule as well as the time frames that we set up. We have 5 golf carts, and so they can each carry 5 passengers plus the driver.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think between the 2 days, we'll probably be somewhere between 70 and 80 people. So
yeah.
we've really had a good, and the weather's been perfect.
Oh,
I take credit for that.
There you go. Well, you said that a week ago. You were guaranteeing bluebird days.
Yeah,
let's put
yeah,
it that
that's
way.
Right. I think it was at Harvest Moon that did it.
There you go. One final question for you, Jim. How does somebody become, you know, who would be interested? How do they become a friend of the Ada Hayden Heritage Park?
Well, we would welcome memberships. And being a member, you will get a newsletter. You'll be informed of what all we're doing. And I should also comment, and I'll come back to how they join. We've done other things out here before.
Mm-hmm.
We were major contributors to the new boat ramp that went in for canoes and kayaks. We've been major contributors for the signage around the park, and we've coordinated some of the memorial benches. It's a great partnership with the City Park and Rec Department. But the Friends of Ada Hayden Lake is a nonprofit, and it is just a friends group. We're here to complement the park, and there's like a $35 annual membership fee or more if you want to have mm-hmm. your business or your company be a member. And if they would just contact the city or contact myself or Jim Pease, we'd be happy to send them some information about the membership. In fact, I'll just give them my phone number if they want to text me. It's 515-576-2119. And if they're interested, just send me a text. I'll make sure that they get a brochure.
And there's a website, if I remember, is it friendsofadahayden.org?
I think so.
O-R-G, I
believe. I think that's what it is, yeah. Friends of Ada Hayden. It's a great group. We just as a group meet about 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And when we meet, we plan events like this. I don't know if people are aware that we're here to protect and enhance the park.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also working on a project to secure some additional land in the watershed area.
Yes.
And we're making great strides in that. But if people are interested, we'd appreciate some help in that as well.
And I know you sponsor, like you say, some other activities. There's a couple of activities like learn the plants here, the botany, the birds, the dragonflies and damselflies, geology, a whole lot of different things that you bring through the season.
As you stated before, we're so lucky living in Ames, having so many resources available to us. And so if we find someone who has some expertise, this morning we were talking to a lady that enjoys butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul D'Amato is helping us this morning, a former horticulture professor. And he loves certain areas of the, he loves the whole park, but he mm-hmm. certain things that he particularly specializes
sure.
in. And we have other members who are out here every day taking photographs. And we have people doing bird counts. In fact, Paul told us that last week he counted 200 monarchs one day, which was more than he expected.
Mm.
So it's just something that is always changing, and it gives us all a better appreciation for nature. without having to go 100 different miles to see it.
Learn what's in your backyard.
That's right.
And, you know, you mentioned some of the projects. Wolf Osterreich is almost synonymous with this park, as well as Irv Kloss, of course. Periodically through the year, we check in with Wolf to see what's going on. That's just another thing that's part of the Friends Group.
Anybody that knows Kevin Kane, he takes care of our website. People have questions or they have something they want on the website, he'd be the person to contact.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
And a bit more of Gloria Estefan. It's 32 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to KHOI Community Radio on 89.1 FM. And I'm Pat Schlarbaum on Tuesday Local Talk. Normal host Mike Metz is away today, and engineer Mike Murphy is here.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go.
Let's welcome Susan Guiasta, Public Information Officer for the City of Ames. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Pat. Good to be here.
Good to have you on Tuesday. Are there any announcements for the city?
Well, there's always things going on in the city, lots and lots of things coming up in the next couple of months. Of course, we've talked about it before, but I have to remind people of our upcoming Eco Fair. A lot of interest in bringing this sustainability event back. And it is back on Saturday, October 1st from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We will be in the west parking lot of City Hall. We're going to take the event outside this year. We're going to have a nice display of city trucks, hybrid vehicles, all electric vehicles in the city's fleet, as well as there'll be a private all-electric vehicle show, which shows off some of the private ownership of vehicles like Teslas, a BMW, a Ford, Chevys, all their electric models, including a Rivian. If you've ever seen a Rivian, it's a really interesting looking pickup built in the Midwest, and you don't see a lot of them. We'll have a Rivian included in our private car display. So just lots to see and do, booths about sustainability, about conservation. Should be a lot of fun for all ages.
Yeah, thanks for doing that.
Yeah, we're happy to bring that back. So that's exciting. And that just a string of events in October. I should probably go backwards in time and talk a little bit about, we've talked about our accessible canoe launch. That ribbon cutting is tomorrow. Hard to believe. 5:30 on September 21st, we'll be at Ada Hayden Heritage Park, cutting the ribbon on the city's first accessible canoe kayak launch. And we'll do a little demonstration. We'll be thanking all the groups that helped make that happen, including the Skunk River Paddlers and the Access Ada Hayden team, who contributed funds to make that accessible launch a reality. We could not be more grateful for their help.
What a wonderful project. Yes, it's so appropriate.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Just one other thing. I always like to give people a heads up. It's a ways away at this point, but it's a good time to start thinking about how does the city budget city funds? Again, those are your funds. How do we budget your dollars? Maybe you have some ideas or some contributions you'd like to make, not financial. We know you make those already. Yeah. But if you have some ideas on how the city should best fund the next fiscal budget, we have the town budget meeting coming up on November 1st. It'll be at 6 p.m. That's not a city council meeting. That's actually a meeting with city manager Steve Shanker. And it is just a let us know where you think we should be directing more funds. And he tries to do an interesting balance sheet. If you're suggesting we put more funds into a certain category, where do we need to take funds out of, just like your own budget. Mm-hmm. If you put more in one pocket, you need to even it up. And so where are your priorities? That's really the question here.
Yeah, that'll be a very important meeting. Absolutely.
Yeah, and we hope to get more. We have seen interest increase in that meeting over time. And so if you can't make it that night, we do allow you to email us or call or, let us know about your thoughts a different way. And we'll be getting all that information out in the next coming weeks. Again, it's a ways away. It's November 1st, but mm-hmm. I just wanted to get people thinking about it.
Well, and I know there's an upcoming Story County Mental Health Expo.
There is. And that's why I've asked Julie Saxton, our mental health advocate with the Ames Police Department, to talk a little bit more about this education and outreach opportunity that is tonight.
And we're really looking forward to that. Hi, Julie.
Hi, good morning.
I recognize your voice from KHOY.
Yes. I've got my radio show, my mental health radio show on Saturdays, but I am talking this morning about the 8th annual Mental Health Expo at the Memorial Union at the Great Hall this evening, starting at 6:00 until 8:30. And we are so incredibly excited, by the way, that it's in person. Finally, the last couple of years has been virtual. So we are in person tonight again. 6 to 8:30 at the ISU Memorial Union Great Hall. We have over 25 local vendors and organizations that will be providing support, talking about what their resources are to be able to help those that are suffering with mental illness. There is free food, by the way, free parking. So we're making it very easy for folks.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yes. And we also have door prizes, some really great ones for folks to win. But what we are most excited about tonight is our keynote speaker, which is our very own Lindsay Fenley, former Iowa State All-American basketball player. She is going to be talking about her journey with mental illness and really just giving a raw, authentic look at it's okay to not be okay. Yeah. So we are so thrilled that she's going to be our keynote speaker this evening.
Lindsay Fenley. Yeah, that really is a familiar name. And I'm sure she'll bring so much positive energy to your gathering.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, 25 vendors. My goodness. Are they all from Ames or Story County or around Iowa?
They are all from the, Story County. And again, this is just really grown from its first year where we first held this actually at the mall here in Ames and has grown to this venue at Iowa State. And in the past, we've had up to 400 attendees from all over Story County and Central Iowa. So we are expecting... Yeah. 400 to 500 people this evening. So come on out. We want to make sure that we're destigmatizing mental health. Again, right. It's okay to not be okay. 1 in 4 people will be diagnosed sometime in their lifetime with a mental illness. Mm-hmm. So it's prevalent. It's out there. And what a great platform to be able to speak openly about such an important topic.
Yeah, bringing it all into the open. And that's a byline of KHOY Community Radio is amplify these voices that need to be heard.
And absolutely.
What an amazing statistic. So 1 in 4, you could almost presume that affects all of us, either directly or indirectly. We all know someone that can benefit from a gathering such as this.
Yes. And just to know that there is hope. And there's healing and you will see when you come out tonight how many of our local organizations are in one room ready to provide that care, compassion, and support.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Julie, this seems to be a mainstay to your career. Have you been the key coordinator all along?
No, this is my third year. I co-chair with Cassie Cheney, who's the regional director with Optime Life Services. So we are, like I said, so excited to be part of this amazing working group. We have quite a few folks on our steering committee that are part of the organizations that will be vendors this evening and just have been working tirelessly to put on this event for our community.
And tell us a little about your program on Saturday mornings. It's 9 a.m., I believe.
Yep, 9 a.m. The second and third Saturday of the month, I have a mental health radio program called Insight of the Mind, where I have an opportunity to chat with various providers in our community, folks that are in recovery from mental illness, that are friends, family. We talk about substance abuse. Really, we just talk about all of it. And again, another platform where I hope that I'm able to have those authentic conversations and bring to light that we can talk about mental illness. We can talk about substance abuse. We can talk about these topics because it does affect all of us. And like you said, directly or indirectly. And I think we can continue to do a better job being stigma busters surrounding these topics.
Are you an Ames? Did you grow up here in Ames, just out of curiosity?
I did not. I have been here for 26 years. I grew up in Decorah, which is a beautiful part of the state. I was really lucky to grow up there. But I have been in Ames for 26 years. I can't believe that as I'm saying that. But it's Ames is home to me and my husband and children. And my dog, I can't forget my dog, but we love this community so much.
Yeah. Well, you really bring a bright spot to the KHOI listening family. And it seems that you're inroads into working at Iowa State and being in the Great Hall. I mean, what a great accomplishment that is.
Yeah. We are, again, really excited tonight, 6 to 8:30, Great Hall at the ISU Memorial Union. Come on out.
And the keynote with Lindsay Findley.
Lindsay Findley is our keynote speaker tonight.
I hope to enjoy that also. Well, is there anything else, Julie, we can touch on?
I don't think so. I hope we've covered it this morning.
You're very comprehensive. You're a great guest. you know this how to get around this community radio opportunity to get the facts out there and make it enjoyable for all of us.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, everybody come on out tonight. Like I said, 6 to 8:30, ISU Memorial Union Great Hall. Hear Lindsay Findley talk about her story, her mental health story and her journey. And hopefully, like I said, we have so many people that won't feel alone or feel like, hey, oh my gosh, if she can talk about it, I can talk about it. And again, free food, free parking. 25 plus local organizations, vendors, and raffle prizes this evening.
Well, thank you so much. That's Julie Saxton with the Story County Mental Health Expo coming this evening in the Great Hall, 6 to 8:30 p.m. And thank you so much for all you do for the Ames community, Julie Saxton.
And, my pleasure.
And thank you, Susan Guiasta, Public Information Officer for the City of Ames.
Have a great day.
Shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Feel the rhythm of the music getting stronger. Don't fight it till you try to do that conga beat.
You know, Mike, it was very entertaining listening to Hispanic music for us to hear today on Local Talk, this Tuesday edition. And what a great library of learning on the internet concerning Hispanic music. Yet in the end, I stuck with one of the giants because her music is so dang good. That was Gloria Estefan with their Miami Sound Machine, A Little of Conga. Check it out. Hey, let's welcome Jim Wenzel, a man I met at a Star Knowledge conference a number of years ago. Jim Wenzel, welcome to Local Talk.
Thank you, Pat.
Great to have you with us. Well, and I can't recall, it was 5 or 6 years ago. I think we were in Colorado initially at one of these Star Knowledge conferences, and they were coordinated by a man that kind of brought us together, Lauren Zephyr. Lauren is a Yankton man of the Yankton Sioux tradition. He was from Greenwood, South Dakota. He's now a spiritual friend as he passed away in July of 2021, but it was Lauren Zephyr that kind of brought us together. So let's start with a little bit about a Star Knowledge conference. What was appealing to you when we first met?
My first conference happened to be in Farmington, New Mexico area, which is the Four Corners, and that was in 2010, and it just kind of blew me away with the variety of stuff that and exposure to the Native American ways. One thing they do that's unique with their conferences is that they drum in every new speaker. And drumming is singing Lakota songs, which are all prayer songs. So we were interrupt the conference constantly to do prayers. That was kind of unique.
Yeah. And were you the photographer at that event, or were you just attending?
No, I was. That's where I started my photographer career with the Star Knowledge conferences.
I see. And before we leave, there is one coming up, 11-11, November 11th, in Wagner, South Dakota, I believe.
Correct. And that's going to be held in the Armory building there in town.
And if people want to go to learn more about Star Knowledge, they can start there and open up their minds to some learning activities that are based in Native cultural ways, it seems.
Taking
it to the universe. Yeah. So, Jim, how did you get involved with photography?
That's a good question. It kind of started back when I was at Iowa State. I was trying to get into vet school, and at that time there were over 3,000 applications for vet school. So I wasn't one of those applicants that were accepted. So after being there for 4 years, I got a degree in animal science, but most of my background was in all these science classes of physics and chemistry and organic chemistry, which, you know, I couldn't see a way of getting a job in. And there was a big recession at that time in 1980. So there was nobody even came to campus to recruit. So there was no job offers or jobs at all. So I thought I would just stay on another year and take classes that I thought were useful in getting, you know, employment. So I took like welding classes, property appraisal, accounting, a whole bunch of computers and photography class. I took every photography class that Iowa State had, which meant I pretty much had a minor in journalism, because back then the only people that took photos were journalists.
Okay, uh-huh. So you're kind of a practical guy, it sounds like.
Well, I try to be. I was fortunate. I also took a wildlife and fisheries biology class in wildlife photography.
I'll be darned. See, when I was in college in the 70s, I don't recall wildlife photography, because that would have piqued my interest, I'm sure.
It was only a one-credit class, whereas most of them, you know, it would include labs and things, so it was, you know, way more credits in all the other photography classes.
So your career has evolved, and how it is we invited you to be on Local Talk this morning is you were out in Douglas Avenue taking pictures of the birthday bash and kind of piqued people's interest. And then once we see the quality of your work, it was kind of a natural fit to invite you on Local Talk. So has this become kind of a lifelong dream to or what motivates you to bring out the camera and help events like our birthday bash along?
Well, one of my big motivations in life is to be of service. And I also like, you know, the photography, the art of creating. It's not as much fun to process the pictures when I'm done, but the art of actually doing it is what I enjoy the most.
I see, but your comprehensive approach, for instance, there was a white eagle powwow recently down in Jester Park in Des Moines. And just out of curiosity, how many images did you take in that, was it 3 days?
Well, that was the third time I've actually photographed that event. I'm trying to think, I think it was only 1,400.
Uh-huh. The 14 nuggets of reality, I guess you might say.
Yeah.
Capturing special moments.
And he has a really nice event because it's multicultural, so we have all these different ethnic groups that come together and do different dances and things, and it's very colorful, and everything happens really fast.
And that's Ralph Moisa and his wife, Carol, that host the White Eagle Powwow. Our listeners can watch for that. Is it over Labor Day or the week after, generally?
For next year, they're making it the week after.
The week after Labor Day, so people can kind of watch for that. Well, you mentioned service being a major component to your walk here in life. Is there anything else you'd like to... What aspects of service touch your heart?
Well, I think it's important to give back. For example, when I was at Iowa State, I began volunteering, and I volunteered at a suicide and information referral hotline where you'd be there... during the evening and answer the calls, and you never knew who was calling in or what. And that was, I really enjoyed that. And after about 3 years of doing that, I branched out into a new organization, which was a rape crisis center in Ames.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And ironically, earlier this program, we were discussing the veterinary college with Jamila Kelly, and then we had Julie Saxton talking about mental health here in Story County and throughout Iowa, and now you're touching on the things that you're kind of a product of those major aspects of living in Ames can provide, and I really appreciate you being on Local Talk. So your walk with the Native community started with Star Knowledge, a lot of photography, and I understand you're also a sun dancer.
Correct. My first sun dance that I volunteered at, which means that you're not a dancer, you're a supporter, and that happened to be in Iowa, and that was in 2016. And then in 2017, I began my first four-year commitment of being a sun dancer.
I see, and it is a four-year commitment. So you've had this walk, and you're now taking that walk and sharing it with all of our listeners.
Yes. And a thing about Sundance is it teaches one two things, service and surrender, because all the sun dancers have to build the arbor from nearby trees.
Oh, that would be the dance arbor, yeah.
Yes, and that's kind of like a coliseum for the supporters to be in the shade surrounding the where the sun dancers are dancing around the tree in that area.
Sure, and this is a topic that we've covered, but hope to have you on again because we're about to run out of time. But I want to encourage people to go to the KHOI website, and I'm certain a lot of your photos will touch a lot of people's hearts and are appreciated so very much, Jim Wenzel.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being on Local Talk. So Local Talk airs each weekday at 7 a.m. on 89.1 FM. KHOI Local Talk is a training workshop as well as a show. If you have an interest in joining the Local Talk team as a reporter, the welcome mat is out here at 622 Douglas Avenue, but please give us a call so that we can maintain our COVID protocols here at the station. We want to stay on the air, but come join the Local Talk team by calling 515-292-2878 or go to our website where we are streaming live at khoifm.org. And please remember to support this nonprofit station financially when you go to that website, khoifm.org, and find the yellow donate button and become a member. KHOI provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. KHOI is community nonprofit, nonpartisan media in the highest regard. At community radio, you will hear items and stories you're not going to hear anywhere else because community radio is very unique in that way. And thank you, Local Talk producer Lynn Carey. And thank you, Mike Murphy, for engineering. And thank you for all that you do for community radio, Mike. I'm looking forward to You Name It on Thursday at 2 o'clock, Mike's program that is always entertaining. And thanks to our guests, Dr. Jamie Copper, Jamila Kelly, Mike Metz and his informative story at Ada Hayden, Julie Saxton, and that was Jim Wenzel. And I've been your host, Pat Schlarbaum. Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. The other artist you heard was Gloria Estefan in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month. We heard Here We Are and Conga. Stay tuned for Headline News and Democracy Now! And All Things Piano with KHOI's own Tom Russell. And hoping you have a great weekend enjoying the birds, a great week enjoying the birds in your backyard or at your feeders. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.
KHOI, Dory City and Ames.
Art with monkeys.